Hello, folks. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. First things first. Several of you have been emailing me of late, asking questions about certain books, literature, quotes, aspects of Buddhism, my own statements, and what I've meant by things that I've said. And first and foremost, I am incredibly humbled by the sincerity of your questions, the articulation of your thoughts. That is a large concern of my own, to be articulate and to, again, language. I love what, I can't remember his name now. He wrote Naked Lunch, and anyway, he famously said that language is a virus from outer space. I can't tell you how many times that statement floats through my head as I try desperately to convey my thoughts and my understandings in words. I don't know why it's so difficult for me. The fact that you guys seem to understand me so well and also point out things that I don't do so well on. What a tremendous reward you are. So thank you. Thank you so deeply. And I know it's hard to express that in words. I fumble around with it. So hopefully through this video medium, you'll be able to see my sincerity and my sincere thanks and appreciation for you guys, okay? I can't. It makes me emotional to think this is just and this is the topic for today. And I just read this very short Gosho, and Nichiren must have felt this as well. It's a reply to a believer, or a person of confidence and resolve in their practice. You know, I don't like words like believe and Western religious terms. They get very befuddling. And that has very much been on our minds lately. Who was this written to? Anyone specific? Shijo Kingo? Well, why not say reply to Shijo Kingo? Anyway, so there you have it, Shijo Kingo. We are at the beginning of a 10,000-year period. Nichiren was at the beginning of a 10,000-year period. But when you look at, well, it's been like 800 years since Nichiren. So we haven't reached even the first 1,000 years of the latter day put behind us. So we're going to be in this situation for a long time to come. And this situation that I refer to is this age of greed, avarice, anger, which, as you understand, as a Buddhist, isn't anger so much. In the West, we think of anger as violence, right? But in Buddhism, anger is that manipulative, backstabbing, questioning, doubt, desperation, right? Foolishness, stupidity. Well, those three just go hand in hand, don't they? And I myself in daily life, and I'm sure on these videos, have mentioned many times, there's nothing more volatile, more unpredictable, more dangerous to life itself than a desperate human. Or any animal, for that matter. You know, how many anecdotes have you heard about a cornered animal, right? Well, human beings, we corner ourselves in our minds. So that's even more dangerous, because when an animal gets cornered, you can tell by looking at it that it's desperate. It's ready to do all sorts of mayhem, right? But we humans, we're sophisticated. We can hide our desperation in our heads. And we can act and walk and speak normally. In fact, psychologists have shown that that preceding a homicide, it's not unusual, and it's almost telling that a homicidal killer will grin or even laugh. Not a brouhaha, but it often precedes a homicidal act. I mean, we are very dangerous creatures. Nietzsche touches on this in this very brief gosho. We live in times very, if you understand volatile as being quick to expand, quick, a volatile liquid isn't necessarily a liquid that is, well, volatility is a quick expansion, a quick, an ability. I don't know if it's an ability, but a quality, an aspect that evaporates quickly or becomes gaseous and expands quickly, right? So situations can be volatile because they can quickly expand out of control, right? Certainly, a conflagration is a form of volatility, right? But think of that mentally. Think of what that means in the mind to be volatile. That should scare you because all of us are susceptible. There are certain, well, it's a beleaguered term these days to say triggered, but nonetheless, it's an accurate visualization, conceptualization of how a word, an act, an amounting or an accrual of certain things can take a very nonplussed kind of thing that is, well, straw to break the camel's back, right? It can take a very small thing to act as that launching point, that conflagration in the mind. And at that point, there are no rules, right? It's like the floodgates of monkeys that are desperate for something. So we live in an age where that is a potential that is rather constant around us. Yeah, I don't mean to say all of this in a way to frighten you, but I want to call your attention to it because when it comes to this practice, we talk about obstacles. And in our daily lives, we tend to think about obstacles in our mundane world, right? Somebody at work is becoming very antithetical to our progress, or we're being stepped over for promotions, or somebody has accused us of something. Oh goodness, those are the worst. Or maybe you're having to answer for something that's gotten out of hand in a courtroom setting. Maybe it's a legal matter. Maybe it's a relationship matter. Maybe it's a tragedy. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Obstacles come in for our attached human reality. Obstacles are constant. They're constant. We may not view them as obstacle immediately, but as a Buddhist, an obstacle is simply anything that mentally disturbs our path to awakening. And as Nietzsche talks about his own life, he has mentioned in several gosho and writings that his goal is to live in myoho renge-kyo all day long. What does that mean? So certainly on this spectrum is, what is myoho renge-kyo? Is it just magical words? Is it an intonation of some magical formula? Our minds tend to go that way when we're not familiar with the entirety of the teachings, when we haven't grasped yet the function and the method of Myoho Renge Kyo. No, it's not magic words. No, it's not a magical formula. It's an intonation. It's an intonation that our human samsaric minds and bodies can formulate to represent. Myoho Renge Kyo is an ultimate stand-in, if you will. It's an invocation of. Not unlike when you're a child, and this, you know, this will be an analogy that will falter, but I've used it before, and I think it's applicable. You know, Buddhism walks this line of an enlightened mind versus a samsaric mind. This human existence and this human existence awakened. We never leave this human existence. Buddha is something we experience in this human existence. That's, you know, that's the entire practice of Buddhism. It's not like religion where we practice for some alternate universe, some after death kind of experience. Buddhism is about this experience, this moment, this life. How do we make this human life as wonderful, beneficial, appreciative as possible within the parameters of humanness, samsaric experience? How do we disconnect from the things in this experience that cause us to suffer? Anything that causes us to suffer, and therefore not Myoho Renge Kyo, not our Buddha, is obstacle. Getting back to that point. Does that make sense? So our Buddhist practice is about being enlightened. It's about being Buddha right now. Anything that gets in the way of that is obstacle. Whether it's a job, whether it's a distraction, whether it's an addiction, whatever it is, it's not an obstacle in terms of being human. It's being human. In fact, you could almost say in that, I'm going to retract these words because it easily can lead you to a nihilistic point of view, and Buddhism is not nihilistic, but very, you know, core of the matter is our greatest obstacles to Buddhahood is not being Buddha. In other words, in being samsaric. But here's the rub. Being samsaric is our only path to experience Buddha. Do you see this line now? This precipitous existence? We are a manifestation of attachment. And so we don't begrudge this life, because this life is the very thing that provides for us to see Buddha, to experience Buddha. You see? It's a mental exercise, a mental state of being. And anything that knocks us out of that alignment, realization, being, is obstacle. It's Dairakuteno Mao. It's say it a million ways. All of Buddhism is an expedient exercise to demonstrate that our minds are very volatile and can easily be distracted like a monkey. This is why the analogy of the monkeys, squirrel, right? Our mind just goes with the rest of us follows, right? So as Nichiren says, once again, to live my life in every moment, Myoho Renge Kyo. Myoho Renge Kyo is a representation, an invocation, like when we're getting back to being a child, when we're in danger, a child will say, call out for mother. Not Micheline Mariette Chamberlain. Mother. Right? Because mother is a concept. Mother isn't an individual. Mother is a nurturing, feeding, of which I come from. It's, you know, without mother, you don't exist. And a child knows this explicitly. It's even comical, right? You get injured. Mother! You might narrowly missed injury. Right? So what is that? Whether your mother is anywhere in reach, the concept mother is at once comforting, seeking, embracing. Right? Think of that. That is an invocation of mother for protection, for reliability, for confidence, for protection, all of those things, right? How much more powerful an invocation is to call forth Buddha? But what is Buddha? Do you have any concept of, we have concept of mother because we came through one. Not to be too visceral, but really. In a much larger sense, we came through Buddha, but we don't have a visceral samsaric reference for Buddha. So how do we invoke something that immense without some kind of a samsaric attachment to something? And there's that line again. What we're trying to invoke, what we're trying to get, is a mental life condition. It's a conceptual experience. And so how do we manifest that conceptual experience without some kind of exploratory explanation? This is what expedient means are. All of the teachings of Buddhism are about helping you to conceptualize this Buddha within your own samsaric experience. That's why it's individual. And when we look at that, when you get, another analogy. When you get a master's degree, for some of us that's, we get an immediate visual or reference of experience from that. For some of us, that seems like some other lofty elite thing we'll never see in our lives. Well, think of a high school diploma then. Or think of the award you got for the science fair. Or the trophy that you got for some sport activity. Think of anything where you've been certified with this level of accomplishment. This knowing. It's not until you reach that level of accomplishment, whatever it is, that you then understand what it is to reach it, right? We can talk about baseball all day long, but until you're in the playoffs and your team wins, you don't know what that feels like. You don't know what that's like. You can label it, but that doesn't do it, right? So, we have to study, and we study, and certain things give us insight, little mental chunks that we can build our understanding of what our mental capacity is for a life condition freed from the sufferings of everyday life, freed from obstacles. And when we get to that ultimate method, that ultimate teaching that only really makes sense to us once we have gotten there. It's useful to say you're a master, but until you really experience being a master, the word is just a distant kind of a carrot. When you feel it, it comes with all of the experience of having worked hard to achieve it. And it has a different sense than a carrot. You actually have the taste in your mouth, to put it viscerally. And this is Myoho Rengekyo. Myoho Rengekyo is the sound, the visual aspect, the oral aspect, the scent, the thought aspect, the mental aspect of this invocation. Buddha, Myoho Rengekyo, no matter who you are, your particular path to Buddha is inculcated, if you will, into the words, into the sounds, into the characters, Myoho Rengekyo. Because those characters are constructs. They're constructs of all the teachings that bring you to that final method. And ultimately, that method is only a method. It's like a ladder. A ladder is a useful tool, but only if you want to get on the roof. It is your determination. It is your ichinen, your resolve. I will get on that roof. Now the ladder has meaning. I can hand you the ladder all day long. Chant Myoho Rengekyo. Namu Myoho Rengekyo. Namu Myoho Rengekyo. Okay. Yeah, great ladder. But until you visualize in your mind being on the roof, being Buddha, now that ladder is an expedient like no other. It gets you there immediately. It surpasses the ladder. It's like springs under your feet. It's like levitation. It puts you on the roof. Myoho Rengekyo, I'm on the roof. This is Myoho Rengekyo. It's not magic words. It's not just the sounds. It's all of the scholarship, all of the concept, all of the understanding, all of the resolve, the desire to be free of our sufferings, of our obstacles, of our distractions. Because right now, in this moment, in this life, as you breathe, you are in Buddha. The only reason you don't sense it, realize it, experience it, is because of all this other samsaric attachment. So at you might say, well, why can't I just see that? Exactly. This entire practice is about not just conceptualizing that, but actualizing it. We don't want to leave this life, because this life provides us for the ability to make that realization, to actually experience it. So we don't begrudge our bodies, our lives, our samsaric experience. We just want to change our perception of it so that we can realize that we're in the pure land, the wonderful place, with all those descriptions we read of in the Flower Garland Sutra, with all of the wonderful stories we hear throughout the expedient means, and even the Lotus Sutra itself, with flower petals falling from the sky and large fields of blue. And that's what we're in. We just don't perceive it that way because of our attachments. We want things to be permanent. We want things to be ours. We want things to be, and we obsess. You could almost hear a law, an oral kind of whoosh when that just quiets down and the monkeys just look at you in anticipation. And you get a little archaic grin on your face and you go, just wow. This Myoho Rengekyo. So, let's talk about some obstacles. Reply to a believer. Reply to Shijo Kingo. Shijo Kingo. So basically this word believer we can understand now as a reference to Nichiren's recognition that Shijo Kingo is a resolute purveyor and pursuer of Buddha. He's resolved. I've just received your letter. Considering how disasters have struck one after another in the wake of my exile, would they dare attempt to harass us any further? I feel they will do no more, but people on the brink of ruin are capable of everything, anything. Sorry. Isn't that what I just said? Desperation. Should some persecution be about to occur, there will certainly be signs. We'll see it coming. We'll see the growling dog with foam at the mouth. We'll see the cornered animal, right? Even if I were to be exiled again, it would bring me 100,000, 10,000 million times greater good fortune than if my teachings were to be accepted. Again, don't be confused by this. Nichiren is saying, look, in light of everything that's happened in my life, the attempts on beheading me, on exiling me to Sado and so forth, all of these have merely proved out that what I am teaching on the correct practice of Buddhism, Myoho Rengekyo, is valid. Because of course, cornered dogs will bite. But I'm still here. I'm not harmed. This has worked as a proof of what I'm teaching, of what I'm saying, of what I'm articulating for Shakyamuni in our day and age. What the true practice of Buddhism is in culmination of the Sermon of the Lotus Sutra. The next exile would be my third. Should it happen, the Lotus Sutra could never accuse me of being a negligent votary. In other words, Buddha itself, not himself, itself, the life condition of Buddha could never begrudge me, for that obstacle would be more proof that my Buddha nature is much greater than any obstacle I might face. I might well become heir to the rewards of Shakyamuni, many treasures, and Buddhas of the Ten Directions, as well as those of the countless Bodhisattvas of the earth. How wonderful if that were to come about. So what does that mean? Counter to what some groups would tell you, Nichiren never ever asserted that he was the Buddha or a Buddha or the original Buddha. Nichiren here is talking about what if I were to be exiled again, would be the final straw, as it were, to my achieving the historical heights of Shakyamuni Buddha himself. What if I would be in this life completely immersed in my Buddha mind, my Buddha nature, without any more sufferings? While these people try to impose, quote unquote, suffering upon me, I simply wouldn't experience it. I would just be Buddha. Wow, wouldn't that be amazing? So Nichiren is he's kind of fondling this idea. What if that happened? Because obviously he doesn't feel that he is an instantiation, a full manifestation of Buddha-ness. He is still a practitioner, still a human man practicing, devout, espousing, and in every moment of his life, working toward staying in a Buddha state. And that by itself, my friends, is our practice. We don't practice to suddenly levitate in the middle of a room and go, ha ha, I'm here. That's a fantasy. But if in our minds we can adhere to the qualities of being Buddha, our lives are immeasurably benefited. Those are the rewards of practice of Buddhism. Is that things, little things, big things, they just don't affect us anymore. Or if they do, they're greatly minimized. That's what it is to exercise and develop that muscle, if you will, of brain that is our Buddha mind. Something not in this body, but of this body. Right? I will follow in the path of the boy Snow Mountains and live as did Bodhisattva, never disparaging. In comparison to such a life, how wretched and meaningless it would be to fall victim to an epidemic or simply to die of old age. Right? Once again, a reminder that in Buddhism, in our Buddhist practice, to fall ill, to die, not least of which to take one's own life, is the most horrendous obstacle. Why? Because it's an obstacle to our mental life condition of alleviating suffering and being in our Buddha state. It's hard to be in your Buddha mind when you're on a deathbed or very ill, right? Because every moment is a focus on treating symptoms and getting better, and it's hard to get away from those distractions to be in a Buddha mind, and yet we must persevere. I would far rather suffer persecutions from this country's ruler for the sake of the Lotus Sutra and thereby free myself from the sufferings of birth and death. Does that mean he's expecting to die to free himself from birth and death? Not at all. This is a misunderstanding of birth and death, as I've explained many, many, many times. Birth and death is a moment-to-moment thing. This moment arises, a birth, and this moment passes, a death, and into another birth and a death. The cycle, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, right? So if we're persecuted, if you were to be put in jail tomorrow, it would be an opportunity for you to focus all of your mental energy on Buddhahood. Because what is jail but an isolation? What is isolation but an opportunity to meditate with free of distractions? I'm not saying go ye forth and be arrested. Hopefully you understand that what Nichiren is saying is, far better for me to be incarcerated than to fall sick or die of old age, because it'll redouble my efforts of Buddhahood. It'll have an impact on Buddha and the teachings of Buddha and so on and so forth. See, and this is what is meant by letting go of our preoccupations, our love affair with this body. Incarcerate it, put it away. Doesn't matter, because that's not where value is. That's not where my greatest reward is. The greatest reward is in my mind. Myoho Renge Kyo is in my life state of being in Buddha. He continues, then I could test the vows that the sun goddess, great bodhisattva Hachiman, and the deities of the sun and moon, Chakra, Brahma, and the other deities made in the presence of the Buddha. Above all, I will urge them to protect every one of you, because the more, and this is true for all of us, the more we live in our Buddha life state, the more we perceive the awe of life itself. Obviously, the more your life matters, her life matters, his life matters, the plants, the trees, the animals, the humans, all of life matters much more profoundly when we're in a life state that isn't focused on me, 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 me. Right? This is what Nichiren is saying. Even if I were to be incarcerated again and incur the wrath of the ruler, not only would that be more validation of my correct practice, an opportunity for me to spend even more focused energy into my Buddha life state, but then I would be completely overwhelmed by my compassion for all of you. Not that I'm not now, but how much more focused would it be? If you continue to live as you are now, you remember this whole saga with Shijo Kingo, a samurai, his Lord Emma on the fence with him, but absolutely desperate to keep him at my side because of his medical prowess and other reasons. But always the enemies of Shijo Kingo, the other samurais who are plotting against him to get his favor with Lord Emma, because they're Nembutsu followers. So they pick on his advocacy, his devotion to Nichiren and the Lotus Sutra. They're trying to drive a wedge between him and Lord Emma, who is himself Nembutsu. But Shijo Kingo keeps surmounting these attacks on him. And so Nichiren says, if you keep your resolve, you stay determined, but you don't begrudge people. Don't let your temper get in the way. Don't let your, right? Always those cautions. If you keep living as you are now, there can be no doubt that you will be practicing the Lotus Sutra 24 hours a day. There it is, living in Myoho Rengekyo. That is practicing the Lotus Sutra 24 hours a day. Regard your service to your Lord as the practice of the Lotus Sutra. That's interesting. So, in life, we may be beholden to others. But because of the challenges that that presents, view it as a support to your Buddha practice rather than an obstacle, because it's constantly challenging you. It's constantly sending you to your practice, causing you to chant Myoho Rengekyo. How do I overcome this? How do I surmount this obstacle? Well, that source of obstacle is actually the fire under your butt that keeps you practicing and resolved to instantiate your Buddha life condition. So you've turned poison into medicine, haven't you? You've turned this possibly samsaric negative experience into a Buddhahood, Buddha practice of appreciation. Yeah, give me more obstacles. Thank you. Namu Myoho Rengekyo. This is what is meant by, quote, no worldly affairs of this life or work are ever contrary to the true reality. Drop the mic. I hope you will deeply consider the meaning of this passage. With my deep respect, Nichiren. And so, I don't need to say anything else on top of that. The deep meaning of this passage. He's quoting the Lotus Sutra. And he's saying, worldly affairs, no matter how, in this samsaric existence, terrible these obstacles might seem, with your Buddha mind, you can see them as expediencies, as cheerleaders to your resolve, to your accomplishment of enlightenment. I know it may not seem that way at times, but the part of you that doesn't see the opportunity and the obstacle is your samsaric, your mind, your ego, that just doesn't like anything but whipped cream and party favors. Everything else is just so arduous. And this comes back to the central point, does it not? Buddhism is about living this life well. And a huge component, if not the main component of living life well, is not letting it get to you. Get to you. You, your true self, is your Buddha self. You're unencumbered, unattached, uninfluenced, beatific vision of an appreciation, more to the point, of how wonderful this process of life is that we're just this little bubble of. How amazing is this? Keeping that in mind is the biggest struggle we have as human beings. And so what is Myoho Rengekyo? It is an anchor. It is a pointer. It is a tool, a method for us to remind our mind. Oh yeah, Buddha. Oh, this is crazy. I can't stand it. Oh, Myoho Rengekyo. Myoho Rengekyo, give me clarity. Give me, let me grab onto my Buddha mind and push this mind of suffering and distraction and pain away. Not destroy it, not get rid of it, because I'm in it. But let me experience this with appreciation and clarity, that it doesn't, in the grand scope of things, it doesn't affect this amazing life. I hope that helps. It was interesting to run into this little Go show here in the midst of all the recent emails I've gotten. I guess we've all felt this pimple growing. I hate that analogy, but it's so personal. Anyway, again, I can't explain my appreciation for you guys participating. All in the desire to strengthen your practice. That's what I'm awestruck by. So keep doing it, please. Strengthen your practice every day. Stay healthy as you possibly can. Appreciate those around you. It doesn't mean you need to run up and hug them and kiss them and pat them on the back. Some people you need to appreciate from a distance. And I'll let you devise what those relationships are in your life. But appreciation nonetheless. Be awed by those who wish you harm rather than reflexive, right? Namo Myoho Rengekyo. I want to end on a positive note. I didn't like what I just said. It's kind of negative. But it's a realization that everybody really has the potential to send you to your Buddhahood, not least of which is yourself. So Namo Myoho Rengekyo. Let's make this year steady accomplishment for our enlightenment, our life condition of Buddha. And now I'll be quiet and let you just go chant, because that's what's important. And I'll see you in the next one. Thanks so much again. Love the emails. And stay strong. Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you, John. I feel like Romper Room when I do that. Really, thank you guys very much. All of you.